Hey, Under the Dome listeners, it's Dawn Vaughn. We at the News and Observer want to give you first dibs on a seat to Under the Dome Live, which is a special live recording of our weekly podcast with you as our audience in the Daniels Auditorium at the North Carolina Museum of History in downtown Raleigh. We have State Senators Natalie Murdoch, who's a Durham Democrat, and Vicki Sawyer, an Iredell County Republican, lined up as my guests. So please save the date for Tuesday, April 30th at 5 p.m. You can RSVP at underthedomelive.eventbrite.com. So we hope to see you there, and you can actually watch what we do as we're recording the podcast. For the News and Observer, I'm Capitol Bureau Chief and Under the Dome host Dawn Vaughn for this latest episode for the week of April 22nd, 2024. It is legislative session time. The short session starts on Wednesday. We've been in the off season for a while, except that every now and then the no vote sessions where Berger hasn't really been showing up for those, but Moore will talk to reporters occasionally. But we're back. We're here. Everybody is back. There have been those interim committees, but all 170 people, all the staff that don't work there year round, all of the pending legislation and the advocacy groups and the probably some protesters, it's all coming soon. So I'm here today with my politics team colleague, Avi Bajpai, and investigative reporter Tyler Dukes, which will talk about something we read about this past week and how that is going to play into budget season and drama between the branches and everything else. So let's get going with the ledge. For those of you listening who are maybe on your drive to Raleigh who don't work here normally, welcome back. There's new signage for the committee rooms in the LB. There are signs like Dogwood and Scotch Bonnet.
No more confusing numbers.
Yeah, I think it's decipher. Scotch Bonnet is a shell, I believe, right? So that's probably a Paul Coble thing. If you listen to last week's podcast, we talked about things going on over at the Capitol Dome with Coble lately and changes to the building. Some new information that lawmakers are going to be thinking about as we start is the $1.4 billion budget surplus, which sounds like a lot of money. It certainly would be if any of us had $1 billion, but maybe not as much in the state budget because we've had bigger ones in the past. But the main headline there is that the slow session never arrived. And I don't mean the slow session like the legislative session that continues on forever, but a slow, mild recession, which never actually came. So the private school vouchers, $30 million, we could be looking at money. Again, that's a lot of money. But when you look at the big picture of the $30 billion budget, maybe not as much. Gambling, maybe?
Yeah, we're definitely looking at issues that, lawmakers were in for all of last year almost, and some issues didn't make it. So we're going to be looking at maybe the return of, some gambling discussions. Both Berger and Moore have said earlier this year that they don't really sound too enthusiastic about revisiting casinos. So that might be on hold for now. But the main thing to look for is this issue that the state has been trying to crack down on on video gambling, on these video lottery terminals, these basically like video poker machines or fish games, these machines that have basically proliferated across the state over the past several years. There, by estimates, there are tens of thousands of these, and they sort of operate in a different shades of gray of the law. Some of them, the manufacturers, there's been this whole sort of like legal battle, several legal battles over, when the games are within the law, when they're outside the law. But yeah, we're going to be looking at potentially the return of this legislation, which you know, basically the idea is they want to, instead of trying to just ban these machines, people keep going back out to, there's lots of demand for them. So the idea is, let's just make them legal. Let's regulate them under the Lottery Commission. Let's make some tax revenue off of it. If people are going to do it anyways, if there's demand, then you might as well, you know, regulate them and avoid some of the sort of, like, you know, sometimes you find these at sort of, you know, sort of seedy places, like, you know, some random gas station off the road, some place where there's a sort of like an associated risk of crime, for example. So they want to sort of tackle that. So
maybe a similar pitch to sports betting, that people are doing it anyway. So let's get some regulation and tax money off of it.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And yeah. I think the estimate, you know, I wrote about this last week. There's Representative Harry Warren, who's been leading the charge on this. He had a bill that he put forth last year, and the fiscal research analysis on that said something to the sort of ballpark of, I believe it was $1 billion in revenue by 2028, and almost half of that, $438 million, going to the state. So definitely not, you know, not insignificant.
So the goal of the short session, in theory anyway, is you're making budget adjustments. So last year's budget was the two-year spending plan. You don't have to have another budget bill in the off year, but generally they do. I've been covering the ledge for the past 5 years, I guess. This is my fifth anniversary of the legislature. And they've always had an off year one. So it's not required, but it's those adjustments for, wait, this project cost more. Wait, people are really mad and want more money, so let's give them raises. And Speaker Moore has told us that raises are in the works. So it's already the second part of the raise that they were given last year for teachers and state employees. But there usually is some sort of extra bump. So that's basically the big question for those of our listeners who work for the state or in that state plan. So speaking of people who work for the state, I've got Tyler on this week about a story that we've been covering, eCourts, which Tyler has written a lot about. And the eCourts drama, the trouble with the rollout, isn't over. And our story this past week, if you haven't read it yet, is both about eCourts, but also about a pension. If you remember last year's budget drama, or it was a very quiet drama, but drama nonetheless, was the Conference of District Attorneys asked for a lucrative pension for their executive director. And what people need to understand is that this pension is reserved for public defenders, for judges, for people that have, you know, a different line of work than, I guess, what you'd call more of a civilian type of job. And the executive director, Kimberly Spejos, is the one who wants it. And her husband is the lobbyist for the Conference of DA. So obviously there's issues at play there. And what I'd found out this past week or so from the judicial branch is that the administrative office of the courts was not really happy that the Conference of DAs asked for that pension again in their budget request. So again, session hasn't started yet, but the budget questions or budget pitches from all these different agencies and programs have already begun. And so the pitch for the pension switch, which would cost, according to an actuarial note, $642,000 of tax money. Again, you know, just not even a drop in the bucket with big budgets, but it's more like, do all these jobs, should they all be in this retirement plan versus others? So there's a fair amount of things at play here. And the Administrative Office of the Courts, the AOC, that's not the the famous one outside North Carolina, said, no, we're not including that. And if you want things, since you want a pause on the eCourts rollout, why aren't you asking for more jobs then? And so there's more to it. We're going to take a break soon. But before we get to that, Tyler, what still needs to be done for eCourts this session? And then we'll go more in depth when we come back.
Yeah, I mean, really what we're looking at with eCourts is the continuation of this sort of phased rollout county to county. And what we really saw was a sort of growing consternation from court officers about this rollout. There's one more planned for April 29th. And so what everybody's going to be watching is what happens next.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about how the judicial branch, e-courts, and everything else is going to affect the legislative session, the budget this year, plus our picks for headliner of the week. We'll be right back. You're listening to Under the Dome. I'm Capitol Bureau Chief Dawn Vaughn here with Tyler Dukes and Avi Bajpai. Before the break, we started talking about the e-courts rollout, the problems there, and this tension in the judicial branch between the administrative office of the courts, who wants to keep this going, and the Conference of District Attorneys, who wants to pause it, and what they're asking for when. My understanding from the head of the Conference of DAs is that they have not asked for more jobs yet because they're going to ask for a whole bunch more jobs next year, but not this year. But as I was saying, you can always ask for things every year in the budget. That's, you know, basically probably why House Budget Chair Jason Sain, I think, had a sign on his window saying no, because people are always asking you for something. But they chose not to ask for that this time. So what are lawmakers going to be asked about e-courts this session still, Tyler, or are they really?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably worth backing up here for just a second to note that, you know, a couple weeks ago, a lot of this started with a very high profile committee hearing on e-courts, where this conference of DAs, which is made up of elected DAs, Republican and Democrat across the state, who basically said, look, this e-courts rollout is continuing to be rocky. We're continuing to have problems with it. And what we would like to see is a pause that would require the state and meaning AOC and its vendor, Tyler Technologies, to fix some of these high profile problems that are really gumming up the works in the courthouses that have launched specifically this case management software that's rolling out. What we're really sort of watching here is this growing sort of chorus, really, of voices that have been having problems with this information. And we're talking about not just the DAs, but defense attorneys, judges, clerks, and really the conference when they appeared before lawmakers a couple of weeks ago and said, we would like to see this pause. Really the highest profile request for this pause. And so what, you know, they were essentially asking lawmakers to do is to step in, because what we have not seen AOC do, at least lately, is to take a step back and say, we're going to slow down this rollout. There is a little bit of precedent for that, but really what remains to be seen is whether lawmakers are going to take any action in that regard, or if they're going to leave all of this up to AOC to run the rollout of the software like they've been doing.
So this is kind of the backdrop during the session. If it ends up being a budget situation, which would be if that conference of DAs director pension shows up again in a budget proposal, or if there's separate legislation from the budget about e-courts.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that's interesting here is that e-courts was meant to make the court system more efficient. And again, we're hearing DAs and other court officers saying that is not the case. We need more people to run this software. And they're having to, you know, basically slow down court operations to get that done. So whether they end up adding more people, more ADAs, more, you know, clerks, things like that, that's going to be a big question going forward.
All right. So session starts on Wednesday at noon, House and Senate. Again, you know, this is the second year of everyone's term, so there's no big swearing in or anything. And things will take a little while to get rolling, but we are back and we will see you all at the building on Wednesday. Someone we won't see, which we've mentioned before, is was House Majority Whip John Hardister, who ran unsuccessfully in his Republican primary for Labor Commissioner. And so had already resigned his seat. Others who are short timers are Republican Representative Cleveland, who lost his primary to, I believe, an ECU student, and Democratic swing voter Michael Ray lost his primary. There are some people that aren't running again in the Senate. Mary Wills Bodie, the Democrat, she's not running again. And Senator Jim Perry, a Republican, is not running again. And Senator Mike Woodard, longtime Durham Democrat, lost his primary. So what we'll be watching for is how is their behavior going to change or not change, because they're not going to be here after this. And will they show up for all the votes? And will they say things publicly that maybe they didn't say before if they're worried about being reelected? So let's move on to our picks for headliner of the week. Ivy, what is your headliner?
So I'm going to go with something that our colleague Richard Stradling covered this past week, a real sight to behold out in Fuquay Arena by Aviator Brewing. Richard writes about this beautiful plane from World War II. It's a Douglas C-54. And right now it's sitting behind this brewery, sort of like cut up in half. It's pretty amazing if you see the photos. The brewery plans to reassemble this plane. It's this gorgeous plane from the 40s that helped in the Berlin airlift. It's sitting out there. They're going to make it like the centerpiece of the brewery complex. They're going to reassemble it. It's going to look really great. So I'm excited to go check that out. I'm sure other people are too.
Yeah, airplanes are pretty cool. So Tyler, who or what is your headliner this week?
I think it's probably worth staying on the aviation theme. So one of my favorite stories of this week is actually by our colleague Brian Gordon. So we have another one of our colleagues, Travis Long, who's a photographer and a drone operator. And he's been pretty routinely flying over this VinFast site, this Vietnamese car maker that's a big deal for North Carolina. And what he noticed is that there's almost no activity on that construction site. So Brian was actually able to go and use that drone footage to confirm that construction has stalled at that plant. And actually now he reported just this week that the company is now facing a lawsuit from shareholders over what they say is overstated statements about what they could produce and what they could make as a company.
All right. My headliner is going back to the Ledge. The Assembly online website magazine had a scoop this week about Dustin Hall's wedding. Dustin Hall is the House Rules Chair and got married in December in far southwestern Virginia. And apparently there was an accident where one of his groomsmen, lobbyist, had fallen out of the back of a pickup truck and been seriously injured. Bryson, I believe is his name. And he's okay now, but the Assembly story had the 911 call and the ensuing drama from that. So that was interesting to, glad he's okay, but to find out about kind of sort of the inside baseball of the lawmakers and the lobbyists and their relationships and how that'll play out. So we will see everybody on Wednesday at the building. And just as a reminder, I'm sure you heard the promo at the top of the show and have already registered. But if not, we have a free live podcast recording on April 30th at the NC Museum of History with Republican Senator Vicki Sawyer and Democratic Senator Natalie Murdoch. And you get to watch our conversation and then hear it later. So don't forget to register for that free event. For the News and Observer, I'm Dawn Vaughn with Avi Bajpai and Tyler Dukes. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.
For more from our politics team, subscribe to the News and Observer at newsobserver.com/subscribe. Follow us on Twitter at Under the Dome and NC Insider, and sign up for our weekly political newsletter, also called Under the Dome, at newsobserver.com/newsletters. Thanks for listening.